We are the remnant of Tucson Church. Here is a message from one of our pastors.
Father, we come before you again this morning. I just pray that you would just send your spirit down even more than it is right now. We come to you in worship, Lord, and I know for me, sometimes it takes a minute or two just to forget everything this past week or to at least lay it aside and to focus in on you. And we pray for that, not only for the continuance of worship, but just as we get into your word, that we would be open and willing to be listening to you as a teacher, that we would be your students. As we look at a story that maybe some of us are familiar with, I pray that you would teach us something new. I thank you that your word is alive and it's active. And every time we read it, Lord, there is something in there for us. It never comes back void. It is always willing to do the work. And so, again, I pray that we would be just open to receive any encouragement that you have for us this morning. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, like I said, we are in Acts chapter 27. And if you guys remember from last week, or if you have read Acts and obviously chapter 27, the first half of it, you'll see that Paul has been going through a lot, and that he and about 276 other people are on a boat right now, and they're in distress. So for about 2 weeks, this group of people, if you can just imagine in your head, okay, in your mind's eye, kind of get a mental picture right now of what's going on, they have been stuck in a storm pretty much for 2 weeks. So you have no sun, right? You have no stars. You just have darkness and waves tossing you back and forth. That is the setup of what's happening right now. That Paul, a prisoner, right, is on his way to Rome, which the Lord promised that he would be on his way to, that he would be able to speak in front of Caesar. So here he is with a group of other mixed people, right? So this was a cargo ship. And so you not just have prisoners, you also have supplies. Right, you have a lot of people. I mean, this is a big ship, 276 people stuck out there in sea. So again, imagine in your head, right, a storm for about 2 weeks. Okay, it's hard because we live in Tucson, Arizona, right? You just get little glimpses of it. No sun, right? No stars, complete darkness, waves going to and fro. And this fear that, okay, well, if I'm going to live or if I'm going to die. Because it's one thing to go through that every once in a while you're on a ship or you're out into sea for a long period of time. But to have that consistently for 2 weeks would make you start to think, well, what's going to happen with my life? And so there Paul is in the beginning of Acts chapter 27 with 267 other people wondering what's going to happen next. And so for Paul, right, not just being a passenger and not just being someone who's in prison, Paul has a reason why he's on that boat. And the reason why Paul is on that boat is to go to Rome. And because that is what the Lord promised he would do, is that he would go to Rome and he would speak before Caesar. And so if you remember, if you've been paying attention, if you've read the book of Acts before, you know that Paul talks to Jews and preaches the gospel to them, that he talks to Gentiles and preaches the gospel to them. And then last time I taught, he was in front of rulers and spiritual authority, and he was in front of governors. And now he's on his way to speak to Caesar, to speak to the most powerful man in this world. And that was because he chose to do that. So Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, had the authority, had the privilege of saying, hey, I don't like the way these trials are going with these other rulers and with these governors. What I want to do is that I want to, in a sense, right, go to the Supreme Court, right? I want to bypass every single one of you little people, right, you little forms of government, and I want to go straight to Caesar. And so it would be like if today, right, you were like, I don't like the way this is going. I'm going to take this to the Supreme Court. And so that's what Paul is doing. That's why he's on this boat, to be transferred from where he was to Rome to speak to the most powerful man in the known world right now, right? And to preach the gospel to him. That is his purpose. That is something that God said he would be able to do. And so while Paul's in this storm, right, while Paul's kind of in this crisis, he has that in the back of his head. And so as we read chapter 27 and we get into this story about this shipwreck, and we go into chapter 28 right before we finish off the book of Acts next week, what you would like, or what I would like you to start thinking about this morning, is crisis. And I think on some level, every single one of us has had crisis in our life. If it's been for years, right, or just for a couple days, or maybe just for an afternoon, or just a morning when you went to your car and it wouldn't turn on, right? So it's like trauma. When you have trauma, it can be big trauma or little trauma. Every time you walk into the emergency room, the ED, you're a trauma patient because you're going there for some reason. You may have little trauma, you may have little injuries or big injuries. It's all considered trauma. Like, you're in there for a very specific reason, big or small. And so for some of us, we have things that we have gone through that are big crises in our life. And some of us, for the time being, right, and hopefully for the very much further future of our lives, if we haven't experienced big trauma in our life, we still have experienced kind of little traumas, right? Little situations that aren't so comfortable to live with, if that's with relationships, if that's with finances, if that's with relationships, whatever it may be, right? We have all had life, and we have all experienced some difficulty of life. We have all experienced some crisis in our lives. And so for the first half of chapter 27, that is all these men are dealing with. For 2 weeks, they're going through this storm, right? For 2 weeks, they're going through this situation. And then the chapter ends with the fact that not only were you going through this tribulation, this storm for 2 weeks, but it's going to end with a shipwreck. So it kind of just doesn't stop, right? You have this storm, and now this storm is going to lead to just a shipwreck, where some life and death situations are going to happen. Life and death decisions are going to have to be made. So at this point, that is what's going on. That is what these men are dealing with. And what they are not prepared for was this place that they're at, because they did not think that they were going to go on this boat and experience this kind of storm for this long. I am sure that all of them did not think that they would be shipwrecked, that they would have to make some life and death situations in a moment, right? So they are in a place that they didn't want to be. And when we go through things in our lives, that's where we're at. We're in a place that we don't want to be. We're in a place that we ourselves are not prepared for most of the time, right? And some of us have been in situations that you look back and you're like, I am so unprepared for this. I had no groundwork prepared, right, for what I'm going through spiritually, emotionally, physically, right? I don't know how to navigate this part of my life. I don't know how to navigate this situation. Or it's someone that you love and you care about, and they're going through something, and now they're looking to you for comfort or for answers, and you're like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to tell you, right? I don't know how to comfort you in this situation. But again, all of us have been in a place, or we experience someone close enough to us where we are in a place, or they're in a place where this is uncharted territory, right? We don't know how we got here. I don't know why God has brought us here either, right? And there's just so many questions and so many unknowns. And maybe you're going through that now. Maybe you have gone through that before and you're still dealing with it, right? And maybe you have dealt with it, but at times those memories come up, right? And you're like, okay, great. Now I have to navigate through this all again. And maybe it gets easier and easier, but sometimes it may get difficult. And the point is that in Acts chapter 27, no one is where they wanted to be, even Paul. Paul has a promise that he is going to see Caesar, but at the same time, this is where he doesn't want to be. No one would want to be shipwrecked, right? No one would want to have to fight for their lives, right? That is not something that you desire to go through, right? Even though you know that this isn't the end, it's still something that no one desires to go through. No one wants to be in that situation. So these men are in that situation. Paul is in that situation where he is dealing with a problem, or he's in this place that he's not prepared to be in. And in that moment, right, in that moment, what we tend to do is that we tend to allow stress and anxiety to come into our lives, and we forget everything that we may have known about God, or we forget the promises that God has made to us. That's just what happens naturally, right? Is that when we go through these things in our lives, when we get to this place that we're not prepared for, that we ourselves haven't walked through, we tend to then start stressing out, which is fair, and we tend to start having anxiety and worry, which is all fair, right? And we forget a lot of the times God's word, we forget who God is, sometimes we forget who we are, right? We forget our own strength, our own power in Christ Jesus, and we just feel like, I don't know what to do now, right? This is all brand new to me. When really, if you have known Jesus, if you have read scripture, if you have gone through some things in the past, there are things that you can pull from, right? There are strengths there that you have, but sometimes your mind just gets so blank, right? And you just feel so helpless. That, again, is what's going on right here. And so if you are taking notes, if you guys have your Bibles in front of you, we're going to start in Acts chapter 27, verse 22. And this is the first thing before I start reading verse 22, is to not let the storm win, right? You cannot let the storm win. You cannot let the situation win. You cannot let the crises that you're going through win. You can't let the place that you never thought you would be in win. Like, that cannot be an option for you, right? Because life still goes on. Promises that God has are still there. The things that God wants for you is still there. And there may be some lessons in that storm. And so you cannot let the storm win. So Acts chapter 27, verse 22, it says, "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God of whom I belong and whom I serve," saying, this is Paul speaking to the 276 men on this boat, "Do not be afraid." This is what the angel told Paul. "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God, that is, will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." And so Paul is telling these men that God has spoken to him and saying that he will go before Caesar. And so if that promise is going to be true, right, of Paul going before Caesar, then regardless of what happens these 2 weeks, and regardless of the shipwreck that they're about to go through, right, because of this storm, that at least Paul and these other men, right, so he's saying no loss of life will happen, we'll make it through. And then it says right here that they must run aground on a certain island. So for 2 weeks, these men are stressing, they're having anxiety, they're terrified, they're being tossed to and fro by the waves, unsure if they are going to see another sunrise, right? In this moment, they're all very much consumed with fear, but God has already given them a promise that they would survive. So only if they trusted in that. So that's how you have to think when you're going through a storm. You have to look ahead of the things that God has shown you, the things that God has promised you, right? To allow the storm, the situation, the trial, the tribulation that you're going through, not to win, not to have more power over your life than it needs to have. So I'm not saying that these people would enjoy the storm, right, that they're going through, maybe even knowing and trusting in this promise, but they would have carried less stress and less anxiety through it. Do you get that? That this storm was going to happen. It is happening. It's been going on for 2 weeks, and it's not going to get better. It's actually going to get worse for them. But if they would have listened to Paul, and they would have trusted what God spoke to Paul, and the promise that God gave Paul that now they're benefiting in, right? Not to say that they would have been enjoying the storm, right? Because who's going to enjoy a storm on a boat with 267 other people? No one would, right? For 2 weeks, you wouldn't enjoy that. But all of these passengers here, all of these men that are on this boat, they could have had less stress, less anxiety, and less fear these 2 weeks, knowing that this was going to pass. Right? And this is a reminder to you that if you are going through something, or when you go through something in the future, that it is not going to last forever, that this too, whatever you're going through, will pass, and that God does have a life for you, an abundant life, and not that that's always going to be easy, right? But there is hope. That is the whole point of the resurrection, right? So that we can have hope as Christians. And so while you're going through a storm, you don't let it win, and then you also have the maturity and the understanding from Scripture, right? And from your past experiences with God and who God is, to understand that whatever storm you're going through, to not let it win, but also to know that while you're going through it, you can go through it with less stress, less anxiety, less worry, and less fear, because you know that it's going to pass, that nothing is forever. Whatever you're going through will not last forever. So I want you to ask yourself today, why are you stressed? Why do you have anxiety? Why are you worried about a storm that you're in right now? A crisis that you're in, a trial that you're in, an uncertainty that you're in, if God has already spoken into your life, if God has already promised you that this will too pass, and that he has so much more for you than what you are presently going through, what you are presently feeling in your spirit, in your body, in your mind, right? That you will go through it, that again, this too shall pass. And so the question is, what has God already said that you are ignoring? So when we're going through things in our lives, again, it is easy for us to fill up and to have everything be that stress, that anxiety, that worry, and we ignore the things that God has already told us to be true in our lives. We ignore the promises that God has shared with us, right? We ignore the scriptures that say, hey, you will go through. We ignore the hope of the resurrection, the hope of at some point, right? We are going to be living in a place where there is no more tears, right? Where there is no more sorrow. So even if this situation or this crisis, this thing that you're dealing with is going to last longer than 2 weeks, it's not going to last for eternity, right? So what has God already said that you are ignoring? Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 39. It says, and when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach, unto which they planned to run the ship, if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, while loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. So this land, this island is Malta, right? And they don't know that yet, but I'm letting you guys know. This land that they are going to, this island that they're going to, is Malta. And Malta means refuge, right? So remember that. And if you're taking notes, Malta means refuge. And thank God that they landed in this place. Because if they had missed this island, which is not a very big island, I think it's 17 miles across, they would have had to travel another 200 miles to get to the next landmark, which obviously was not going to happen. They would have not made it another 200 miles in this storm, another 200 miles on sea, because at this point, the beginning of Acts chapter 27 tells us that they're throwing things off the ship, right? This cargo ship that is money, right, for these people who are on it, they're throwing their money out to try to save their lives. So there's no way they were going to make it another 200 miles, right, in the situation that they were in. So the fact that this island is in the place where it was means, too, that God is obviously in this situation, right? God is obviously in this storm. And in some ways, he is directing it because he is giving them a way of escape, right? He is giving them an island. He has given them Malta. He has given them refuge, right? So it's important to know that there is always reasoning behind what God is doing in Scripture, in stories like this. And people's names, right, even islands' names have a meaning, they have a purpose, right? God is a great storyteller, right? And so when he is orchestrating things in Scripture that we are reading, there is so much thought, way more thought than what we can do ourselves, right? And so this place that they're coming to, Malta, right, means refuge. And again, just that assurance that even in this situation, even in this shipwreck, even in this storm, this trial, this crisis, whatever you want to call it, God is still in that situation. So verse 41 says, but striking a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the plow struck fast and remained unmovable, but the stern was broken up by the violence of the waves. So the stern was broken up by the violence of the waves. That's what you have to picture in your mind right now. A storm that's lasting 2 weeks, and then such violent winds, right, that the ship is literally breaking apart while these men are on it, right? So if you watch action movies, or if you've seen Titanic, or Castaway, or Captain Phillips, I don't know, I can name so many other, right, just devastating, like there's really no fun shipwreck movie or show that I can think of. There's a really old one I used to watch. Is it Swiss? Yes. Right? That was cool, right? Because they're basically like landed in Disneyland, okay? But other than that, I really cannot think of another shipwreck movie that ended off well. I haven't seen that, right? I don't know how you know that. That is like too old for me, right? But again, right, there's no other movie I can think of. I just always realize that, like, no shipwreck movie like ends well, right? And I remember Castaway because that was just traumatic when he lost the volleyball. What did he name it? Wilson, right? Right? There's just nothing good that comes out of this. And so you have that going on right now, right? You have, again, if you can picture all those movies and now kind of sink your mind into this, right? These men have been in this storm for 2 weeks, and now it is getting so bad. The wind is so violent that they are on this ship and literally seeing it break apart as they're on it. And back and forth, this ship is being tossed by the winds, hitting the rocks. And finally, in this moment, what they're going to have to do as this ship is breaking apart is that they're going to have to, in seconds, decide what is going to happen with my life. 267 people are in this crisis or in this situation or in this trial, this tribulation, whatever you want to call it. And now it's life and death. They are thinking, what do I do in this moment? Right? And again, if you have seen any of those movies, it is those seconds that mean life or death for these individuals. Am I going to stay on the ship and see what happens, or am I going to jump off into these wild winds and just trust whatever's next? Right? And again, if these men were listening, if these men understood the promise of God to Paul and then what it would affect them, they would have known, regardless of what they chose to do, to stay on the sinking ship or to jump off, right, that they were going to survive, that they were going to make it to Malta. They were going to make it to their refuge. But they're not thinking that, right, whatsoever. But they're thinking, do I jump, right, or do I die, or both, right? That's what's going on here. And if it could just get any worse, it does. So look at verse 42. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them would swim away and escape. And so not only have these men gone through 2 weeks of violent storms, now they're making life or death decisions, right, to either stay on this ship that is breaking apart before them or to jump and potentially live or die. But the soldiers in this whole mess are thinking, okay, if I live, I'm going to have to start killing some people. Why? It's because just like Paul, right, as we read many times in the book of Acts, these soldiers were in charge of these prisoners. And most likely these prisoners, not all 276 of them, but a lot of them, right, that were on this boat that were prisoners, if they would have escaped, then that means that these soldiers would have to pay for that and pay for it with their lives. And we have seen that as we read about Paul this whole time that we've been in this book of Acts. Paul escaped prison, right? And sometimes he didn't leave those prisons because he didn't want the guards, the soldiers, to also die. That was just what happened. If you were in charge of a prisoner and you lost that prisoner escaped, that means your life. You would die. And so these men, these soldiers who are on this boat, right, are also thinking, if I live and these other men live, I'm going to have to kill them. But now these men who are on the boat who are prisoners, not only are they making life or death calls right now, but they're also thinking, okay, well, I also need to escape after this too. It's not over for me. And that's usually what happens when you're going through something. It's not just one thing, but it's something else and something else and something else. That's what's happening here. For 2 weeks, it's been this storm, and now it's crashing down. Now, right, it's life or death. And then even if they make this, and once they get to shore, they're going to have to run for their lives, right, in this very small island. It's just one thing after another after another. And if you have gone through something in your life, it feels that way. It feels like it's just one thing after another. You're going through something and then your car battery dies, right? You're going through something and then you get sick, right? You're going through something and then your kid goes through something. You're going through something and then your husband or your wife goes through something. You're going through something and then now your finances are going somewhere, right? It's just over and over and over again. That's how it feels like when you're going through a crisis. Everything is amplified. And in this case, it's true. Every single thing is amplified right here. Everything is significant. Everything literally is life or death for these men. So for 2 weeks, not knowing if they're going to live or die, now wondering if they're actually going to survive the next few seconds. And if they survive the next few seconds, they're thinking, I need to then escape. It is just constant crisis in their lives. But this shipwreck, right, in Malta turns for them. So, point number two, the wreck leads to Malta, the wreck leads to refuge. They are going to a place of refuge that they do not understand yet. Even though the situation is not what they wanted, God is going to use this storm to bring them to refuge. God is going to allow them to go through this storm and get to a place of refuge, even though it is a place that they did not desire to go to, or they did not think to go to. And that's what can happen when you are going through a storm and you're in places or making decisions that you never thought you would make. There is refuge in that place that God will give. You didn't want to be there, right? You didn't want to deal with that situation. You didn't want to live through that crisis. But after the storm, the place that you're in, God will bring you refuge. God will bring you to Malta. The shipwreck led to Malta. The shipwreck, right, will lead to their refuge. So again, sometimes you're in a place that you do not want to be, that you never thought you would be in. And because you're in that place doesn't mean that God will not meet you. Paul wanted to go to Rome, right? But God sent him to Malta, and Malta became Paul's refuge for this moment. So think about that. That you may never be able to go back to how your life was. You may never be able to go back to that way that situation was, or that friendship was, or whatever it may be. But it doesn't mean that where God has you now, this new place, again, that you never wanted to be, that there's no refuge there. There is. God will offer refuge. In Psalms 46, starting off at verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through its waters roar and be troubled, through the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. This is one of many verses where Scripture tells us that God is our refuge. And if everything is pulled out under your feet, that he will always be your refuge. He will always offer a place of refuge for you. Even though you may be in a storm, even though the mountains may be swallowed up underneath your feet, that he does offer refuge. So this place that Paul finally reaches is not where he expected to be, but he is going to get some relief, because him, along with the other 267 men, are going to be planted down on some actual soil, right? On some actual hard ground. At least that part of this crisis is over, and they can start finding some rest and refuge in Malta. So what happens is that Paul starts to bend down in this place and starts picking up sticks to build a fire. Acts chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now, when they had escaped and they found out that the island was called Malta, the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome. Because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold, but when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand." So it bit him, right? So there's two things that are going on here, right? And the first one, you would think, well, let's talk about the snake, but we're going to take a moment right here. And before we talk about that, we're going to look at Paul's small actions here, right? Paul put the stake aside. The first thing that he does is that he starts to gather up sticks for this fire, right? Paul is used to speaking to kings. Paul is used to speaking to rulers. Paul is used to speaking to governors, right? He is on his way to go speak to Caesar. And anyone would think that, okay, well, why would you be picking up sticks, right? You are far more above that, right? There's 267 other men who can go and pick up sticks. But because Paul is who he is, and he's such an example of Scripture, he says, I can't do anything right now, but what I can do is that I can be of some help. What I can do in this in-between, right, of where I'm at, where God has me, is I can go back to serving. I can go back to being faithful to the little things. God has something really big for Paul to do. Everything Paul does is big in Scripture, right? God has big things for you in your life. And even though you may not be experiencing those yet because of the situation that you're in or the time that you're living in right now or the moment that God has you in, you can still be faithful in the small things. You can still go back to the very simple things of what the core of Christianity is in following Jesus and in picking up sticks and in serving people. So that's what Paul chooses to do, right? In this chaos, he's like, you know what I can do? I can do something small. I can serve someone. And I cannot forget that that is my whole point, right? That was Jesus's reason of coming, was to serve man, right? To not just die for them and do this extraordinary act, but also to wash their feet, right? Nothing was too big or too small for Jesus. And in the same way, Paul is representing that. Nothing is too big for me, like talking to Caesar, the ruler of the world, but nothing is also too small for me to pick up sticks for this fire. And so that's what Paul does. He chooses to stay humble, and he chooses to always set this example of, I'm going to be faithful in the little things. I'm going to serve in the little things. It's also a good thing to do when you are going through something in your life, or when you have so much piled in one day, that instant satisfaction will help you. Right? There is times in jobs that I've had where it's just these long projects that is like planning for months and months and months. And if your work is like that, right, or if you're in school, right, there could be things that are just constant, right? And it's like, I'm not going to be done with this for another 7 weeks. I'm not going to be done with this for another 4 weeks, right? I'm not going to be done with this for another 6 months, right? So sometimes there's jobs, and again, schools like this too, where it's like there's just no end, or the end is so far away, and that can be consuming, right? And a good thing for you to do is find something that you can accomplish that day. Right? Find something that you can have some instant satisfaction in completing, right? That's what they say, well, you know, make your bed in the morning, right? Because at least you did that, right? So think about that. Like, that is a way just to help you calm down, a way to take something that's so big in your life and kind of narrow it down to one specific thing. And so I also think that's what Paul was doing too, or at least that was a side thing of what helped him, is that this big thing happened and it's so overwhelming, right? What do I do? All these men, including myself, are now on this island, and what's next? I don't know, but what I do know is that we need to make a fire. And what I do know, as someone who was following Jesus and who was called to be a servant like Jesus is a servant, is I can now go and I can pick up sticks for this fire, right? And so that's what he's doing. He's just going back to the basics. He's doing something that he knows he can do. He's serving in this in-between of what's going on. And so that's the third point. When God calls you to serve in the in-between, you do it. It's just that simple, right? And that's what Paul is doing. And then what happens to Paul, right, is that he gets bit. But as he's in this in-between, there's still things going on, right? There's still more things that are being added on to his life, to this situation, to this trial, to this crisis. It's just not ending. You have 2 weeks of a storm, right? And then you have these life and death situations, choices that you're making. And then finally you hit solid ground, right? And he's like, well, what can I do in this in-between? I can serve, right? But also now in this in-between of I'm in Malta, but I need to make it to Rome to speak to Caesar, something else happens, right? So it's just constant. And I think, again, every single one of us can relate to that. It's one thing after another thing after another thing. And I wasn't planning on sharing this this morning because I think a lot of times when I'm teaching, and I've always done this, like I'm like, I'm just going to stick to the word. You guys didn't come to hear about my life. You know, like if you want to, you'll ask me, right? But I did feel it was a little fitting. So if you guys didn't know, and I know a majority of you guys do, but in January, I got laid off because of federal budget cuts. Me and between Tucson and Phoenix, there was 500 people in my department that got laid off. And then 2 months after that, it just fully closed up, right? And to give you a little background into this job, so I worked with resettling refugees. It was like the dream job after being a youth pastor, because it was like everything that I wanted to do, right? It was very stimulating. Every single day was different. I was working directly with people in need. It just was a feel-good job also, right? Like the team was awesome. And I was good at it. Like being a youth pastor for 20 years definitely prepared me for a lot of stuff, right? And it really gave me a pretty good overall view of, I think, a lot of jobs, especially this one. So I was the engagement director or manager, right? The community engagement director. And after being in this job for 3 months, I got a promotion, which is nice. Everyone likes that. And then 2 months after that, I got my own office. So it was great. Like, I'm telling you, like, it was just the perfect thing. And I miss it. Even to this day, I miss that job. But me and 500 other people, right, in Arizona got laid off. And when I'm telling you I looked for a job, I looked for a job, right? There was days where I'd put 47 resumes in, right? And it was just nonstop. It felt like for so long, my full-time job was applying for jobs. And, right? That literally was that. I mean, you think about that. It's like one day, that's so many, right? And some of them were a little bit more complicated than others, but it was just nonstop. And that lasted for 6 months. Like I was unemployed for 6 months. And so when you think about a crisis or a situation you want to be in, that's one of them, right? And in that though, I didn't let that storm win. There were some nights where it won, right? But not mornings, okay? And while I was going through that, I was still doing what I could do to survive. So I would take help when it was offered to me, right? But then I also had other skill sets. I was able to still pay all my bills through photography. And during those 6 months, it was like, well, I can still hustle in these other ways, right? I can still do these other things. I can still wake up and apply for these jobs, right? I can still do X, Y, and Z, right? And so when I talk about not letting the storm win, again, there were some nights where it won, right? But never in the morning, because I was like, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna do this all over again. I was still going through it and still choosing to serve, still choosing to be there for people, to not focus on myself. I was still choosing to do little tasks. I was still choosing to do odd jobs, right? Or to use my other skill sets to make my bills. And it all worked out, right? And I share all this for this reason, is that nothing in that whole 6 months changed for Jesus. When you think about it, in that whole 6 months, as I have these crazy nights, right? Or when I wake up at 2 a.m. and I have a panic attack and I start applying for jobs, right? In everything that happened in 6 months was just far more than what I can share right now. In those 6 months, nothing changed for Jesus. A lot changed for me, right? In those 6 months. But by the way that he took care of me, that didn't change. because he still met every single one of my needs in this situation, in this storm, in this crisis, right? If you want to call it that, in this trial and tribulation, right? And in this time, my car still needed to work. In this time, I still needed to do little maintenance on my house. In this time, I still needed to buy contacts so I can see because I'm like legally blind without them, right? Like in this time, all this other stuff was going on, but God's provision and God's providence was still there. And so if you are going through something, this is a good reminder for you that while you're going through what you're going through or what you will go through in the future, that nothing changes for Jesus. Things change for you in these times, but nothing changes for him. He is still going to be there for you. He is still going to show you love and forgiveness and mercy. He is still going to give you providence and provide for you. That is what he's going to do. Nothing in those 6 months changed for Jesus. It changed for me, right? But nothing changed for him. He just decided to allow providence and provision in different ways than what I was expecting. And now, right, through the blessing of a job, he has now gone back to maybe the system way, right, the systematic way of providing for me. But he did the last 6 months. So again, if you're going through something in your life, remember that nothing is changing for Jesus. And the way that he thinks about you, the way that he provides for you, the way that he loves you, the ways that he will be there for you, even though your life may seem completely different. And this is the thing, is that as God is still giving you provision, as God is still giving you what he needs to give you in these moments, there may never be this instant deliverance. And there wasn't for me, right? 6 months, I wouldn't say 6 months is instant, right? And you may be going through something your whole entire life, and you may never have this deliverance from this situation, from this relationship, from this hurt, whatever it may be, right? From maybe what you went through spiritually, physically, mentally, right? But God does not change, and he'll still be there for you to give you what you need to get through this storm and to not allow this storm to win. You, right, have to, in this in-between, right, continue to trust in him and serve him. And ask yourself, what is God trying to show me in this? And I will say this, a lot of times when God is working, when you're in this storm, nothing makes sense. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with the fact that what you're going through doesn't always have to make sense to you. You're just going through it. And there's hope. Right? And there's something at the end of it. This too shall pass. You just got to, again, not allow the storm to win, right? To serve in the in-between, to trust in the promises of God. And so here's another question for you. In your storm, in your trial, in your situation, whatever you want to call it, what is God trying to show you? There's a lot of things in those 6 months that God showed me. But again, the biggest thing is what I said to you is that he doesn't change. My situation may change. The way that God operates, who God is, does not change. And so you can continue in this storm. You can continue in a shipwreck. You can continue in getting bit by a snake. It doesn't change God's plan for you. It doesn't change what he has for you. It doesn't change what he's promised you. And so when we look at Paul, Paul went through all that. He went through the storm. He went through the shipwreck. And now he's got bit by a snake. Nothing is going as planned, right? Paul has survived so much, and now he's dealing with this. And now these men are dealing with the fact if they are going to get murdered or not. It is just nonstop. It's nonstop for him, and it may be nonstop for you, but God does have a plan. God does have hope. This too shall pass, right? There is a reason why you're going through this. But you can still have refuge in this new place that you never thought you would be in. So look at verse 4. It says, so when the natives saw the creatures hanging on his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom through he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. And so these native people, they believe in a lot of gods, right? And so by Paul escaping the ship, but now getting bit, they're thinking he's going to die, right? And all of us would think that too when you get bit by a snake, especially in Arizona. You're going to die, right? And what they're thinking because of their religion, because of their beliefs, is that, well, this is justice, right? This murderer, this prisoner is getting bit. He survived the storm. He survived the shipwreck, but he is still going to get justice. And that's going to come through the snake and he is going to die. That is their thought. That is their belief. And verse 5 says, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that it would swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So they switch so easily, right? They're like, this guy's going to die. He's going to get what he deserves. He's a murderer. He was a prisoner on that ship. And then now, right, because he wasn't meant to die, because God said you're going to survive this storm, this shipwreck, right? You are going to get to Rome to speak to Caesar because that's what I promised you. So don't ignore that. He doesn't die, right? And now these people who were like chanting and excited, right, to see this justice are now thinking, oh my goodness, he must be a god because he's not dead, right? And he's not a god, right? We know that about Paul. Really, Paul is a murderer, right? He does have a history, a horrible one that God saved him from, right? But that justice is not something that he has to repay, right? That justice, right, is not something that he needs to take a part of because God died for him and God has a plan for him and he took on that punishment, right? And so now Paul's able to live in the promises of God even though he's has gotten bitten. So these natives here see this, and the one particular person comes, and you look at verse 8, it says, and it happened that the father of Patulos, I think that's how you pronounce it, laid sick with a fever. Paul went to him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and we departed. They provided such things as were necessary. And so you look at this. One of the reasons I believe that this place, Malta, where they landed, was to, yes, give them refuge. But Paul was then able, right, to take this place and to allow God to work in this place through him. And because Paul wasn't meant to die and because he was healed, he was seen as someone who was a god, right? Paul then had an opportunity to say, listen, I am not God, but I do know a God, and I do know a God who saves, and I do know a God who heals. And so that's what he did. He went on and he continued to not just heal this father, right, but to heal anyone who came to him that had diseases, that needed healing. And so God is using Paul on the outside of this storm. Right? On the other side of it, God is using Paul in this in-between of where he was and where he wanted to go. And that is a lesson for us, that while we're in this in-between, that God still wants to use us, that God still wants to use us in a powerful way. And so in closing, these natives thought that he was cursed, but really he was protected. And God had a purpose for him being there. It wasn't just a refuge for him and for these men, but it was an opportunity for God to use Paul to share the gospel and to provide healing. They expected him to die, but God allowed Paul to be an influencer in this island, basically, right? To be used in this island in a powerful way. So out of this moment, Paul was able to bring healing, and he was able to bring the gospel to this place that for a moment was his refuge in the storm. So while you're in the storm, there is refuge. While you're in this place you didn't want to be, you can find refuge in God. And while you're there in this in-between of what's next for you, God can still use you in a powerful way, just like he used Paul. And I'll finish with these few things. That the storm didn't kill Paul. The wreck didn't stop Paul. And the snake didn't destroy him, right? You're looking at this man, and he didn't allow the storm to kill him. He didn't allow the shipwreck to stop him, and he didn't allow this snake to destroy him and what he was called to do. So not only Paul was protected from the storm, from the wreck, right, or even from the pain of the snake bite, he received healing and he offered salvation to others. And I'll say this before we get into prayer and communions there available for you guys. The points. Your storm doesn't need to win. Don't let it win. Your storm doesn't need to win. The wreck isn't always a waste, right? The situation you're in, the crisis that you're in, doesn't need to be a waste in your life. There can be a lesson in it. One of the things I do know about God is that he can use anything for his good, right? And so whatever wreck you may be in, it doesn't need to be a waste. God can use every single thing that happens in your life, the good or the bad. And the in-between of where you were and where you want to be or where God has promised you you will be does also not need to be a waste. It can matter. This in-between that you may feel, some of you guys may feel like you're in, it does have purpose, right? It does matter. There is significance in it. Why? Because Jesus doesn't change. Even though your life may change for a time, your situation may change, and it may not be unrecognizable, it doesn't mean that God changes. He stays the same. And he will use your trial to bring life to other people. That what you're going through, this pain, this suffering, whatever you want to call it, there is a purpose behind it. And it's not just the lessons and the in-betweens and what God is trying to show you, what lessons may God be trying to teach you. It's also for the purpose of others. If you are living a life for God 100%, and if especially during crisis in your life, if you're living for God during those crises, the way that God works is that he works in you to affect other people's lives. In your good times and in your bad times, God uses you to affect other people's lives. We don't think that. We think God is only going to use me to affect people's lives. God is only going to use me to share the gospel, right? God is only going to use me to do miracles when things are doing good, when I'm good, when my situation's good, right? But that's not true. God will also and would like to use you when you are also in crisis, right? God would also like to use you to heal and to share the gospel when you are not going through the best times of your life. But you can only think that way and you can only exercise that in your life if you can look past the storm and be in a place where you don't want to be, but still find refuge, right, in Jesus. That in whatever crisis you're in, that there is a Malta for you. There is refuge for you in that space. And are you going to live in it? And while you're living in it, are you going to continue to serve, continue to love, continue to heal others, continue to share the gospel? God wants to use you in the good times and in the bad times of your life, because you should know more than anyone else of the hope of Jesus through his resurrection and the fact that nothing is forever. And something, again, that I learned, that even though your life may be changing and it may not be where you want it to be, God still doesn't change. That how he loves and takes care of you and speaks to you is consistent, is real, right? And there is no shadow and turning when it comes to Jesus. So we're going to pray. Again, communion is available for you guys. If you guys need prayer for anything, I'm going to be here, the worship, the team. But I also encourage you guys to do this too. You guys most likely came with someone, right? Seek prayer from one another, right? From your friend, your brother, your sister, your spouse, even your children, right? Seek prayer from them. But I will be available for you guys if you need that. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, and I know we went a little bit long, but I do think, Lord, there is so many lessons in this story. To not allow the storm to win, to not allow a shipwreck in our lives to be wasted, to not allow the in-between to not matter, because it does. Lord, that we can, even in the worst times of our lives, take the focus off of ourselves and put it back on you. Lord, that when we are going through the worst times in our lives, that we can still find refuge in you. Lord, as we go through crisis in our lives, there are some things that we can do, Lord. If it's picking up sticks, Lord, or if it's healing or sharing the gospel, we can do those things. I just love that nothing is wasted with you, and that in you, Lord, like I said, there is no shadow of turning. You are just consistent. Lord, for you, nothing changes. You are the constant in our lives, and we just thank you for that. As we come before you right now in worship, I pray that we would just sit in that, that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak that over our lives. As we take communion, Lord, and think about what you have done for us, Lord, in our lives, that we would also look at the cross and the ultimate sacrifice that you paid so that you can be our constant, so that you can continue to be our refuge. And we just thank you for that. We give you the rest of today, the rest of this week, Lord, and specifically, Lord, we give you these next few moments to continue to work and speak into our lives. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Remnant of Tucson is a church founded on the vision to see people stranded in sin find life through knowledge and devotion to Jesus. If you would like to learn more about us, sign up for our newsletter, or partner with us financially, go to remnantoftucson.com.